Lesson number 11, How Jesus Enables Us to Receive the Latter Rain. He does this, of course, by preparing our hearts to receive the Spirit's ministry. He never forces the will. A revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. To seek this should be our first work. Revival of true godliness, godlikeness. We must be prepared. Our Heavenly Father is more willing to give His Holy Spirit to them that ask Him than an earthly parent is to give good gifts. It is our part to work by, first, confession, second, humiliation, third, repentance, fourth, earnest prayer to fulfill the conditions upon which God has promised to grant us His blessing. We must fulfill conditions, and Jesus prepares us by inducing us to be willing to fulfill those conditions. Part number one, confession. What is confession? It's a verbal declaration to God that we have sinned. Now, it may be a genuine confession, or it may be a false confession. For example, let's think of some false ones. Pharaoh acknowledged to Moses, "I have sinned." Saul acknowledged to Samuel, "I have sinned." Achan responded to Moses, "I have sinned." And Judas responded to the high priest, "I have sinned, in that I betrayed innocent blood." So these were confessions of sin without repentance. They were therefore false confessions. Sin has deadened the moral perceptions. The wrongdoer doesn't discern the defects of his character, nor realize the enormity of the evil that he has committed. This kind of acknowledgement is not true confession. There are many people in the world, many societies in the East, that have no sense of sin. They make mistakes, they lose face. But until one realizes that he has sinned, he never wants a Savior. He doesn't feel any need of a Savior. Part number two, humbling of our hearts. True confession necessitates the humbling of the heart, true humility. Humility is the adequate appraisal of ourselves. Paul warns us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. If God has given us talents, acknowledge them. But don't think of them more highly, or don't depreciate them. When it comes to sin and our relationship to God, then humility is called for. Jesus took a child, put the child in the midst, and showed the attitude of trustful, open submission, humble obedience, acceptance that a child does to its parents. To demonstrate true humility, Jesus Christ washed the disciples' feet. And when they observed what Jesus did, they came into perfect unity in relationship one with another. They were no longer striving for position. The Spirit was poured out. They were of one accord. All differences had been putting away. By putting all differences away, all desire for supremacy, they came closer together in Christian fellowship. The closer they became to Christ. As they drew nearer to God, they realize what a privilege had been theirs of being permitted to associate so closely with Jesus. Part number three, repentance. Humble confession yields to repentance. Repentance is a resolution on the part of a human being that by God's grace, he will not repeat his sins. He's acknowledged them. He's acknowledged his humility, his inability, and he resolves, now, by God's grace, I will not do this again. Joel predicted long ago that by bringing a sacrifice, by looking through the sacrifice to Calvary, with the meal and the drink offering of total dedication of one's possession to God, by fasting and weeping and mourning, earnestly seeking for a change of heart, God will give true repentance, true confession, true humility, true repentance. Repentance is a sorrow for sin and a turning away from it. Joel instructed the leaders to call God's people together and to pray, Lord, spare thy people. Make not thy heritage a reproach. At every advanced step in the Christian experience, our repentance will deepen. We will see more clearly our sinful attitudes and conduct. The attitude is very important as we develop. Why do I do this? Outwardly, I might show some attitude that would be acceptable to my neighbor, but inwardly, I know I am not right with God. And it's only as we allow the Spirit to infuse our minds and our thinking that the repentance will be true repentance. On the day of Pentecost, people came to Peter and said, what should we do? What are we going to do? Repent, acknowledge, accept, resolve. Ellen White says, I saw many neglecting the preparation needful for looking for the time of refreshing in the latter rain. I saw that none could share the refreshing unless they obtained the victory over every besetment. Pride, selfishness, love of the world, every wrong word and action. What are we doing? Ellen White says she saw that many were neglecting the preparation. Are we thinking about this? Are we praying about this? Do we want to obtain this victory, the infilling of the Holy Spirit? We must examine ourselves. And if we do, when we turn against our fellow human being, snap at them, when they tell us something and in our minds our rejection, our twinge of anger comes up, the Holy Spirit will make us immediately aware of this. Then we can say, Lord, bring every thought into captivity. Help me. Control me. This is the preparation that is needful. This is what we must do by God's grace through the indwelling Spirit. Part number four. And the only way we can do it is through prayer. Prayer for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Darting a prayer to God and saying, Lord, help me. Give me the Spirit right now. Help me to control. The disciples prayed with intense earnestness for fitness to meet men in their daily intercourse, to speak words that would lead sinners to Christ. Whatever you ask, Jesus promised, the Father will give you. Higher and still higher, they extended the hand of faith. The mighty argument is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The circumstances may seem favorable, for a rich outpouring of grace. But God himself must command the rain. Therefore, we should not be remiss in supplication. We are not to trust to the ordinary working of providence. We must pray that God will unseal the fountain of water. Jesus says, "Come to me, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water." And then when those waters begin to flow, part number 5, it will be obvious to others, and our witness will be like the disciples, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Through the cooperation of the Divine Spirit, the labors of humble men whom Christ has chosen stirred the world. To every nation under heaven, the gospel was proclaimed. And this is promised to be repeated in the last days. Part number 6. If we are willing to receive, all would become filled with the Spirit. The church must rouse to action. The Spirit of God can never come in until she prepares the way. And as we think about this lesson, let us resolve that by God's grace, we will do our part to prepare.